A Dedicated Man by Peter Robinson. Read by Simon Slater. When the sun rose high enough to clear the slate roofs on the other side of the street, it crept through a chink in Sally Lum's curtain and lit on a strand of gold blonde hair that curled over her cheek. She was dreaming. Minotaurs, bank clerks, gazelles and trolls cavorted through the barns, maisonettes and gothic palaces of her sleep. But when she awoke a few hours later, all she was left with was the disturbing image of a cat picking its way along the high wall topped with broken glass. Dreams. Most of them she ignored. They had nothing to do with the other kind of dreams, the most important ones that she didn't have to fall asleep to find. In these dreams, she passed her exams and was accepted into the Marion Boyers Academy of Theatre Arts. There she studied acting, modelling and cosmetic technique. For Sally was realistic enough to know that if she lacked the dramatic talent of a Kate Winslet or a Gwyneth Paltrow, she could at least belong to the fringes of the world of glamour. When Sally finally stirred, the bar of sunlight had shifted to the floor beside her bed, striping the untidy pile of clothes she had dropped there the night before. She could hear plates and cutlery in the kitchen downstairs, and the rich smell of roast beef wafted up to her room. She got up. It was a good policy, she thought, to get downstairs as soon as possible and help with the vegetables before her mother's call, "It's on the table," came grating up to her. At least by showing a willingness to help, she could probably avoid too probing an investigation into her lateness last night. Sally stared at herself in the full-length mirror of her old oak wardrobe. Even if there was still a little puppy fat around her hips and thighs, it would soon go away. On the whole, she decided, she had a good body. Her breasts were perfect. Most people, of course, complimented her on her long, silky hair, but they hadn't seen her breasts. Kevin had. Just last night, he had caressed them and told her they were perfect. Last night, they had gone almost all the way, and Sally knew that the next time, soon, they would. She looked forward to it with a mixture of fear and desire that, according to what she had read in magazines and books, would soon fuse into ecstasy in the heat of passion and longing. Sally touched her nipple with the tip of her forefinger and felt a tingle in her loins. The nipple hardened, and she moved away from the mirror to get dressed, her face burning. Kevin was good. He knew how to excite her. Ever since summer began, he had played carefully with the boundaries of her desire. He had pushed them back a little further each time, and soon the whole country would be his. He was young, like Sally, but still he seemed to know instinctively how to please her, just as she imagined an experienced older man would know. She even thought she loved Kevin a bit. But if someone else came along, somebody more mature, more wealthy, more sophisticated, someone who was at home in the exciting, fast-paced cities of the world, well, after all, Kevin was only a farm boy at heart. Dressed in designer jeans and a plain white T-shirt, Sally drew back the curtains. When her eyes had adjusted to the glare, she looked out on a perfect Swainsdale morning. A few fluffy little clouds, one like a teddy bear, another like a crab, scudded across the piercing blue sky on a light breeze. She looked north up the broad slope of the valley side, its rich greens interrupted here and there by dark patches of heather and outcrops of limestone, to the long sheer wall of Crow Scar, and noticed something very odd. At first, she couldn't make it out at all. Then she squinted, refocused, and saw, spreading out along the slope just above the old road, 5 or 6 blue dots which seemed to be moving in some kind of pattern. She put her finger to her lips, thought for a moment, then frowned.